This is it, the ultimate wellness show just for you. Wellness for Life Radio with Dr. Suzanne Bennett.
In the United States, millions of people either already have osteoporosis or are at high risk due to low bone mass. Now, osteoporosis can occur in both men and women at any age, but it's mostly common in older women. Now, today on Wellness for Life, we have Reed Davis, certified nutrition therapist and founder of the Functional Diagnostic Nutrition Certification Course. He's going to share why it's so important to take care of your bones. Welcome to the show, Reed. Thanks so much for being here. Now, let's start with signs and symptoms of osteoporosis. Now, what should we look out for as we're getting older?
Well, thanks for having me on, Dr. Bennett. Really appreciate being here. And, you know, osteoporosis is actually known as the silent disease. So that's one of the problems with it, is your bones can be getting weaker and weaker as you get older, and you wouldn't even know it until something breaks. But one of the signs that you might in advance is shortening. So if you're getting shorter in stature, that is probably one of the only physical signs you'll see. Otherwise, it's something's going to break. And that's why testing is so important, of course.
So when you're, you know what, I'm going to tell you right now. I'm 54, Reed, and I had my bones checked, and I'm in a position, and, you know, I exercise, I do a lot of kinds of stuff, take all the right supplements, but genetically, my mother has a lot of problems. So I don't know if I don't think I'm getting shorter, but I know that I'm in the osteopenic, meaning like it's the beginning of osteoporosis. So what are what are the tests that are available to just show whether you're osteopenic?
Yeah, osteopenia is just before your osteoporosis. So, you know, you mentioned the genetic component, and I just want to say that most women, and I've tested over 10,000 women for bone density problems. I have my own portable DEXA unit. It's the top-of-the-line unit. It's portable, and I took it around, and I tested over 10,000 people. And what I realized after making a lot of my own observations was that people with weak bones when they're 55, 65, 70, they probably never had good bones. Now, that's a real paradigm shift for most people. So you increase bone density up to the point where you're about 30. You don't actually stop increasing bone density till around 30, 35 years old even, and then you start to go downhill after that, just with age and things. So it's really what you do in your formative years that matters. And that's why you don't catch osteoporosis. It isn't like you all of a sudden lost a ton of bone. You just never really had good bones. So peak bone mass becomes the critical factor. And then, of course, let's pretend for a minute you're 54, like you just said, and you find out from a test that you have osteopenia or, heaven forbid, osteoporosis, the really weak bones. Well, now you need to do things that are really going to even increase your bone, but at least not lose any bone. And so we can talk about that if you want, but it really is quite a problem because you don't know if you have weak bones till you break them or go get tested.
You're telling us it's something super important because I'm going to tell you that, you know, when I was younger, I actually always said to myself, gosh, I have terrible teeth. I have terrible bones. I'm not bones, but because I've never really broke any, but I definitely had poor enamel growing up. Mm-hmm. And I'm not a big, you know who I am. And you've seen me. I'm not very tall, you know, and sure, you know, I'm Korean and Koreans are not that tall, but even so I was the runt of my family. So I think that might be true. It may be that may be part of it. So what can we do then? Yeah, tell me.
You know, it's a matter of eating according to your native diet would be very helpful. Of course, Koreans eat a lot of fish and other things like dark green seaweed and these kind of things. I mean, a lot of native diets are just designed perfectly for that person, whatever their ethnic origins might be. So you want to eat according to your ancestral diets if you can, and then you would get all the minerals and you would get all the stuff, plus, you know, all the exercise and activity and things. But it's very true that, you know, big people, they have more weight to move around, so they actually are using their muscles more, and that contributes to bone density as well. So smaller, lighter people, you know, Asians and small white people and small Mexicans, you know, they do tend to have weaker bones. These are just statistical facts, you know, I'm giving you.
Right. Do you know much about the fact that, you know, when you are an infant and whether you are breastfed or whether you have a formula, because I'll tell you, when I was, you know, a baby, I was not at all breastfed because my mother couldn't produce enough, but also I just didn't do well with dairy. Do you have any idea about that, whether or not dairy is really at an early age going to help you with your bones?
Well, you know, the proper diet is critical in getting the right, all the minerals, not just calcium, which, you know, there is some calcium in milk, but more important are some of the cofactors. That's why most milk products today are also fortified with vitamin D. Vitamin D acts like a hormone and allows you to absorb calcium into the bone. And so that, you know, it's just really a matter of all the cofactors. So people who are malnourished have much greater risk for bone density and, of course, many other types of dysfunction in their body. So, yeah, diet's critical, and, you know, we hope that most people get breastfed. I know that there was a trend back when I was born in the 50s to bottle feeding's better even. They were giving soy milk and just all kinds of weird formulas and things like that. But thank goodness because of the midwives and things like that, I think we've gone back to breastfeeding being very, very important in today's culture. But there was a time period when that wasn't going on. You know, doctors thought they knew how to do it better. Not that I'm against doctors, but you know what I'm saying, right?
No, of course. I'm right there with you. So then, okay, you talked about the DEXA. It was a portable DEXA. Is there any other tests that we can do, like urine or blood?
Well, there is. There's one test that measures a urine metabolite that would tell you if you're losing bone, because, you know, it would end up in the bloodstream and get filtered out by the kidneys and excreted in the urine. But it's not a real common test, and it only tells you if you're losing bone, like, that day. And so you'd have to sort of run a series, or you might do a spot test and see, yeah, you're losing some bone. But again, you know, the most important thing is to get the test, like a DEXA scan, that's dual energy X-ray absorptiometry. That's the number one test. And there's different forms of that. You can get your neck done. You could get your whole spine done. You could get the hips done. There's actually one that works on the finger, and it's not a test of the neck or low spine or hips, but it's indicative. There's a NORA study of 200,000 women where it had a very high correlation, especially with the low spine osteoporosis. So there is these cheaper scans. There's also a heel bone scanner. And so, you do want to go out and get checked at a local place if you can. Don't spend a lot of money, and it's just going to give you an indication if you need to work on your bones, and then you go to work on them.
Okay, got it. Do you believe that stress, you know, the everyday stress in America we deal with, have anything to do with bone loss?
Absolutely, because cortisol is the stress hormone, and cortisol actually suppresses the osteoblast. It suppresses the cell that builds bone. So there are your bones are constantly remodeling. There's the osteoclast, which eats the bone, resorbs it into the body for calcium in the body we need. And then there's another type of cell, the osteoblast, that replaces that mineral back into the bone. And those are controlled by your estrogen, your progesterone, and your cortisol. So you need estrogen to slow down bone loss. You need progesterone to stimulate bone building. And then you need to keep cortisol low, because cortisol suppresses the bone building. So you have cells that are trying to add minerals to your bones to keep them nice and strong. And stress raises cortisol, which suppresses that. So if you have cortisol, and as you well know, doctor, the people on prednisone and these corticosteroids and things, they have weak bones because it suppresses bone modeling.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that totally makes sense why women are the ones that have more bone loss, osteoporosis, because, as you mentioned, progesterone and estrogen is involved with keeping strong bone. Well, thanks so much. Now, functionaldiagnosticnutrition.com. That's Dr. Reed Davis's website, functionaldiagnosticnutrition.com. Thanks so much for being here. This is Dr. Suzanne sharing natural strategies for ultimate health and wellness right here on Radio MD. Until next time, stay well.